All right. So how many of y'all were here last week? Raise your hand. Who's here today for the first time of these series? Nobody's brand new? Great. Everybody's on the same page. Awesome. So then let's talk about what we talked about last week, just to recap a little bit. Remember how we were talking about that Jesus qualified us, right? In Colossians chapter 1, Jesus qualified us. And he also, in him, we are complete, lacking absolutely nothing. We're completely full. And Paul said in Corinthians that what? That he has made us sufficient ministers, which means that we have all the goods we need to do what we're called to do. Right? And it's not by us being all that. How's it by? Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? It's all Jesus Christ. It's not me. It's not Eugene. It's not Roy. It is Jesus in us. Amen? And we all come into agreement. It is only by the Spirit of God in us, right? Who here does not have the Spirit of God in them? Okay, so everybody does. So then the power of God should operate through all of us, right? Amen. Amen. That's really cool. I mean, if we can really acknowledge that God is with us, let's just read a scripture real quick. Let's go to Acts 10:38. I love this verse. It's on the computer, Bruce. You can load it right up. Acts 10:38. And let's just look at the condition, and then we'll pray. Are you there? You are. No, you're not. Acts 10:38. Okay, so just follow me. It says, how Jesus anointed, or rather, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For what? God was with him. So if we want to actually have a desire to, if we purpose in our heart to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, we should see the results, right? Why? God is with us. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that your word is true, Lord. Whether our little carnal minds accept it or not, it's still true. Whether we feel it or not, it's still true. Whether we believe we deserve it or not, it's still true. And Lord, I thank you that you are our great Redeemer, that you are the one who has anointed us. You are the one that has filled us with your Spirit. You are the one that has called us. You are the one that equipped us. You are the one that qualified us. You are the one that sanctified us. You are the one that gave us your name. And so, Father, you are faithful to accomplish the work that you began in each and every one of us, Lord. And that your glory will fill this entire earth, Lord. And you're going to do it by your saints. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So us being... Everybody stand up. Everybody do this. Yep, everybody say, Lord, I love you. I receive. I live for you, Lord. Amen. All right, you can sit down now. Praise the Lord. I was falling asleep there for a minute. I needed to wake up. Bless God. Thanks for being there with me. I didn't want to do it all by myself. Praise the Lord. So today we're going to be talking about yesterday or last week we talked about being qualified. And Pastor Trey talked about for his 2 weeks about being saved, sozo, soteria, by faith. And he went into a couple of aspects of that. So God is willing that everyone be healed. He's absolutely willing. He provided for everyone's healing. Amen. And we are qualified not only to receive for ourselves, but for other people. Is it conditional upon my behavior? Not always. For the most part, no. For the most part, it is no. In other words, if I became a manager at a fast food restaurant and I was given that authority as a manager, I am the manager whether the employees like it or not, am I? And I have authority over those employees whether they like it or not. I just need to not act like an employee and act like a manager, amen, to get the results of a manager. But I could, in some capacity, shipwreck my own management ability, right? And so we're not going to go into that right now, but there is a possibility to shipwreck your own faith by stop believing, by not believing God and giving into the demise of the devil and giving into the lies of the enemy and shipwrecking your own faith that you don't see the manifestation of the promises of God in your life. You could void out the blessings by not believing God and letting the devil wreak havoc in your life. So let's talk about El Diablo for just a little bit today, okay? We're going to talk about what I call today is hating evil. Hating evil is what we're going to talk about today. Does God hate evil? Where would you find that in the Bible? Let's take a couple of scriptures and take a look at that. Go with me to Psalms 97, verse 10 to start. God hates evil. And so you and I should also hate evil. 97:10. So in Psalms 97:10, it says this. It says, "You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." You who love the Lord, hate evil. Is that a suggestion? It's a commandment. Amen? It sure is. So go with me also. Let's go look at another one. Let's go to Amos. If you can, go with me to Amos. And I'm going to go to Amos 5:15. It goes Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Amos, that's not a book that we talk about very much, is it? Not at all, but Amos has some good points in it, and here's one of them. In verse 15, it says, "Hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gates, that it may be the Lord God of hosts. Will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph." We need to hate evil and love good. Amen? Amen. Bear with me. Hating evil. Proverbs 8:13. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, right, will let every word be established. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to what? So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Are we supposed to have the fear of the Lord? Then we should what? Hate evil. Have I made my point? Pretty good. Do you know what the word hate means? The word hate means to abhor. To absolutely abhor evil. It means to detest evil. Absolutely detest it. It says, here's what Thayer says. To detest, or I think this is Strong's. To affirm or bear witness. The primary sense of a tester is to set, throw, or thrust. To detest is to thrust away. Abhor. To abominate. To hate extremely. As to detest crimes or meanness. So we have to hate extremely evil. Right? You know, these are great words, but there's what is evil? What is it that is evil? Show me evil. Can anybody hold up a cup of evil? You can't hold up a cup of evil. Carlos can hold up a cup of evil. Huh? That's exactly right. Evil is the works of the devil. Evil is anything that's worthless, derelict, unusable. That's evil. Unbelief is evil. That's what the Bible says. But it's also very much so the works of the devil. So let's look at this. Go with me to Romans 12:9. New Testament. Ready? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Now we're talking about healing school, and we're talking about hating evil in healing school. So how do you think I'm applying this term? Exactly. One, hate the devil. Hate the works of the devil, the deeds of the devil. Hate evil in any capacity. Hate sin. Abhor sin. Don't sin. See this word? Here, go to this one. This is good. Go to Ephesians with me, chapter 4. Hate sin. Now, this is a two-sided thing of hating evil. It's two-sided. And I'd probably be good to show you both sides. In Hebrews chapter 4, Ephesians. I'm going to get to Hebrews. I'm rushing ahead in my mind. Ephesians chapter 4. You there? Verse 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Be angry and do not sin. Are we allowed to be angry? But not necessarily the kind of anger that's sin. Right? There is an anger that is sin. Calls it wrath. And that anger is to build up fervent heat towards somebody else. We're not allowed to really be angry with other people. We're not. But there is a righteous indignation that we should have all the time, and we should never let it cool down like a coal of fire. There is an anger that we should have that is a godly anger. And that is, that anger needs to be stirred up in us, but not the kind that we hate people. That's sinning. Okay? So, was Jesus ever angry with people? Can anybody give me an example that they remember he was angry? The money changers in the temple, when he braided that whip, he sat down on the curb and actually thought about it, and he braided a whip. That's stewing for a while. If you take the time to braid a whip, man, you're stewing for a while, braiding that thing together, and then use it as a lash to drive people out. He had a fervent reverence for the house of God as being a house of prayer. Can you remember another time he was angry? He was angry with the Pharisees and Sadducees because they were religious, right? Whitewashed tombs, brood of vipers, right? They clean the outside of the cup and the inside is filthy, right? So he was angry with religious people. Who else was he angry with? He was, when he called him Satan? Yeah, me. When Peter cut the ear off of Malcolm? Maybe, but it doesn't say that he was angry at that time. You can see probably in that, but yeah. How about in Mark 3? Look at Mark 3:5. This is where he cured the withered hand. Mark 3, verse 5. Look at this. It says, and when he had looked, this is Jesus, he's in the temple, right? It's a Sabbath. And there's the guy there that had the wooden hand. It says, and when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to that man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. God, Jesus was very angry with their hard-heartedness. Very angry with it. And it is all right to be angry, but not all right to sin. So is hating evil to be angry against sinners? No. Okay? It's never, never, never like that. We hate what's happening by the devil to people, right? So let me ask you this. If I have cancer in my body, how is the right way to hate evil or the devil in this situation? Do I hate myself because I have cancer? Do I hate what? The cancer is evil. It's in my body and it's evil. Right? If there's pain in my body, is it good or is it evil? Is it the tree of life or is it evil? Okay. If one of my members or organs is in failure, is it evil? Is the organ evil? What's happening to the organ is evil, right? You are not evil. Your body is not evil. This is a temple. God loves it. He created it to endure and to not wear out. He created it to get you around and be sufficient in all things. What does God hate? Evil. Derelict. Things that are going to waste. Like an old boat sitting on the ocean for 100 years and it just rots and falls apart. God hates that because it's not usable, right? So when the devil is taking advantage of you or me, he's making us unusable in some areas. He's robbing us. He's really taking advantage of us. Our problem is we think sometimes it's us or it's happening to us. And God's got to get the devil or the sickness off of us instead of us hating evil. Go to James with me. James 4:7. Are you with me? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist antihistamine, antihistamine. It means to stand against, to actually stand against him, not just put up with him, not just endure what he's putting on you until healing comes. You are to stand absolutely against him. Are you with me? So if we're standing against the devil, what are we standing against? The sickness, the pain, what's causing our organ to fail, the demon in our body. We are standing against a demonic work that's taking place in our body. Are you with me? What are we supposed to do? Hate. If we love God, we will hate evil. If we respect God, we will hate evil. If we do the works of God, we will destroy the works of the devil, won't we? How many of you think, wow, praise the Lord, let's go out and get some devil ground, amen? Amen. Can we do that? You know, listen, you can do that. Does a person have to ask to be delivered from a demon? No, you can deliver him because it's right to do so. Whether he wants to let the guy back in or not, that's up to him. Ignorance will let it come back in. But if you'll take time to cast it out, get them set free, talk with them, love on them, disciple them, then they can stand. Take it as a friend, bring them into your circles, help them. We're supposed to love people, right? Amen. So where was I going with that? Got it. If you had a farm or a ranch and you had animals on your ranch, this is Old Testament law, by the way, and you had animals on your ranch and they broke through your fence and they got out into the street and your neighbor saw that they got out into the street, do you know what they're supposed to do? They're supposed to go corral your animals and put them back in your yard. That's what a neighbor is supposed to do. According to the Bible, that's what he's supposed to do. So if your animals get out and he sees it, he's not going, well, Fred's donkey got out again. Nope. He's supposed to go get Fred's donkey and put it back in, into the yard, and make it so he stays in the yard for Fred because he loves his neighbor, right? If you see a person that is bound by a demon and they don't know how to get free, wouldn't it be the same thing to help your neighbor to get free? How about if they have pain in their body? Are you allowed to heal the pain? Kind of opening things up a little bit instead of trying to ask permission all the time, which is always good, always good, always good. But to have a fervent, righteous indignation against what the devil is doing to rip people off. That we are actually soldiers of the Lord. That we are actually ministers of the Most High. That we actually have a message of reconciliation, which is bringing people back to God. Right? Therefore, if we love God, we will what? Hate evil. We will hate what the devil is doing in people. How important do you think this is? Really important. You know why it's important? Here's why it's important. If I'm praying for somebody, and the Lord's promised that they're supposed to be healed when I pray for them, if I don't hate evil, I won't treat that sickness like it's actually a violation. It's violating that person. I won't treat it like it absolutely is robbing them and it has to go. If I don't hate evil, if I don't know that God hates evil and that we are to destroy the works of the devil, that the devil is taking advantage, raping, mauling people by doing these things, then I won't come in the power and authority to make that guy go. Right? If you're a manager, you set the policy that your employees have to follow, right? If you're a child of God, you set the policy for how a child of the kingdom lives by bringing the kingdom of God to people. Amen? We need to be reminded and stirred up of this. It's a big thing in healing, and receiving our healing is we have to see what the devil is doing to us as a violation. He is violating our bodies, and he is taking advantage of us, and we're letting him do it. Do you want to be sick? No. Do you want to be broken? No. Do you want to have problems in your body? No. What are you doing about it? Well, I say some scriptures, and I'm waiting for God to heal me. I've asked him to heal me, and I'm waiting for it to happen. There is a truth in that, but it's not the truth, and that's this. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, you go. Was that a suggestion? Was he said, it's my desire that you do, that you really manifest these things. So check it out. No. He says, listen, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, you go. Do it. Get the job done. Make it happen. Don't give me your story. Make it happen. Do you know who John G. Lake is? He was brutal. He was really committed in a good way. He was really one who loved the Lord and wanted to see things happen. So this is what he'd do. He started something called healing rooms. You guys heard of those? The original ones were awesome. He would take somebody, they say, oh, Judy, you want to heal people? Okay, great. Come with me. This person over here has terminal cancer. Heal them. Don't come back till you do. Don't come back. I don't want to see your face again until they're totally healed. Bring them with you. And he would leave them there. Leave them there. Leave them there. No phone calls, no checking in on them. Leave them there. He would say, you heal them. And when they're healed, bring them back and come see me. Some of us would end up paying rent because we'd be there so long. Seriously. It changes the whole ball of wax when he says this, you heal them. You heal them. If you have the power of God in you, if you've been given the name of Jesus and all authority has been given him, he commanded you to go. He told you to do it. Now hate that evil that's ripping off that person. Make it leave. It would change the way we look at things, wouldn't it? Just a little bit. It should change. That's why we're talking about it today. It's a posture. It's an attitude, isn't it? Listen, when the Lord comes again, that same word hate that Jesus used, that he hated their hardness of heart. So he healed, told the guy to stretch out his hand on the Sabbath. He hated that. That same word hate is translated most places as wrath. When the Lord comes again, the wrath that he is going to have, the anger he has against the things that offend him, that are not the kingdom of God and life. He is going to actually get rid of everything that's offensive to him. You know, we talk about the love of God and the goodness of God, don't we? But you got to remember, he paid the price for sin. He doesn't condone it. He hates it. He hates it, hates it, hates it. He's never changed his position on it. He just made it so that we are still able to fellowship with him, so we can renew our mind and save our souls and wash ourselves clean, be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Renew our minds, change our identity, kill off the old sinful, selfish person, and rise to the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So there's grace as a dispensation of time for us to get our brains renewed and who we are and how we see ourselves, right? And then when he comes, whew, we'll be filled with all that glory. Amen? But in the meantime, the namsy-pamsy stuff of hoping that it will go and it doesn't go thing, we need to get rid of that. We need to get rid, because you know why? Here's why. It's bad. It's really bad. It's really, really bad. It really hurts people. The one that's believing because they have a sickness in their body, I'm telling you, why am I not being healed? What's wrong with me? What sin do I have in my life? Did my parents or grandparents sin and now I'm living it out and I have no way of knowing what to even repent for? You wouldn't believe the things that just destroy people. But if somebody would come along that hates evil, that is not putting the blame on the individual, even if they did sin and cause it, but not place putting the blame on them, healing them instead and setting them free, would that give glory to God? Would that rejuvenate and revitalize a heart of a person? Absolutely it would. But constant defeat, constant going and going and going and never getting anything out of it, that's really hard on a person. I know people whose faith has failed because they wanted to be healed and they never got healed. And they wondered, why not? And I know people that have stopped going to church. I personally had a phase of about 8 months where I wouldn't even talk to God. Wouldn't even begin to pray. If I even thought, I'd just turn it off. No. You don't hear me anyway. What difference does it make? But then I had something really bad happen to me and I changed my tune quickly. Because the truth of the matter is, we know God is God. All of us know God is God. In the heart of hearts, we know he is. We just are wondering why it's not working. And part of it is we're not taking personal responsibility for what we actually have been given. We're not. If I gave you a raise in a job and I told you, okay, now you're going to be the supervisor over these 10 people, and you were just the employee, you were maybe doing a better job than the other ones, you had more of a heart towards the company, or you're more conscientious in the quality of your work, and I saw that and I said, okay, I want you to be supervisor of all these guys. I want you to check their work and see to it that they're doing as good a job as you do. Right? I'm making him responsible for that, right? Guess what? We have our first meeting 2 weeks later. We're going through all the work orders and everything, and I'm looking at him and I'm saying, hey, so-and-so still messing up. What's going on? Oh, well, he wouldn't do what I told him to do. Would I be mad at the one who wouldn't do what he was told to do, or the guy that I gave the authority to make it happen? I'd be mad at the guy that I gave authority to, not the guy that's still being the same as he was before I gave this guy authority. And he goes, well, we want to go, make it happen. Teach him. Find a way to get through to the guy. If you have to hold his hand, do it. I've given you the authority to go do that. Now, you did get it done. I never even talked to that guy. They all know that this guy has authority because I gave him authority, but I don't go talk to them about how the work that they're doing. I talk to you. I gave it to you. You're responsible for it. Hate evil. Hate what the devil is doing to people. Hate that people are hurting. Hate that they are sick. Hate that the devil is just having his way in people's lives. Amen? James chapter 5. This is something that is really important in the body of Christ. You know, because we are doing the I love Jesus and Jesus loves me and he's gracious and he's good, and we're doing all of that, and that's really important. But we have to understand the responsibility that is on us, and that is to hate evil. Now, I want to tell you, next week, you know what I'm talking about? Love and compassion. All right? Because faith works by love, all right? So don't worry. Tomorrow, next week, I'm going to do the feel-good stuff, because it's only by compassion, right, that the Holy Spirit operates. And we're going to need that. And next week, we're going to go into that very significantly and how to act, some practical things that we need to do. But listen, if you don't hate evil, if you don't hate sin, if you don't hate what the devil is doing to people, you will let them walk away not being healed. If you don't see it in the first 15 seconds. Really. How much time are we supposed to give somebody when we pray for them? Let's just be realistic. Do you know what? We've even taught people in church that if they don't get it in a minute or two of us praying, that they're going to go, well, it's better, and they're going to walk away. You know that? They're taught to get a minute or two. 10 minutes is a long time to spend with somebody in church, isn't it? John G. Lake said, if they don't get healed, you don't come back to church. Don't come back. If they don't get healed, don't come back, because you don't believe it. He was that serious about it. But you know what? They emptied hospitals. They emptied two hospitals in Spokane, Washington, closed because of John G. Lake. The bubonic plague broke out, scarlet fever, one of those things. And everybody was saying, boy, I'm sure glad we had those inoculations. And he goes, what inoculation? He goes, disease can't live in my body. And he took some of that foam out of their mouths and put it on the slide and touched it. And over a microphone, they watched the germs die before their very eyes. Guys believes it. He's committed. It is. Some of us can be a little bit muddied down because we don't hate evil. We don't really look at it as the devil is really taking advantage of people, and we're letting him. Fred's mule got out again. Oh, well. James, chapter 5. I hear you. James chapter 5, verse 13. It's more like this. Fred's mule got out again. Hope somebody helps him. Hope somebody catches that mule for Fred. Hope he gets it home in time before a car hits it. Because most people don't want to exert the energy that's necessary to get the job done. But after all, they're late for work. They have routines. They got things they got to do. They can't chase somebody else's mule. They got their own lives to live. James chapter 5. I'm not saying any of you. I'm talking about the general body of Christ, okay? Not any of you. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Hold on. If there's anyone among you suffering, what are you supposed to do? You sure you're not supposed to start a prayer line and a chain going? No, you're supposed to pray. If you're suffering, you're supposed to pray. I have to remind myself of that just to let you know nobody's perfect. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save him. The prayer of faith will save him. Amen? Not the oil. Just to let you know, it's the prayer of faith that saves him. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Can sin make you sick? It really can, you guys. And now that's the other side of that anger, is that God hates evil that takes advantage of us. He hates if we participate in evil. Backbiting, gossiping, putting down other people, thinking evil of other people. All those things are bad. They really, really are. Not to mention the alcohol, the drugs, the sexual sins, and all those other things that wreak havoc in our lives. Your body, here's a little biology, spiritual biology. Your body is designed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? When it thinks wrong thoughts, feels wrong feelings, it corrupts the temple. It breaks it. It wears it down. It hurts the body. This body was designed to house the Spirit of God. And when we do bad, it literally hurts this flesh. And this flesh, it gloms onto it. And all the negativity and all the unforgiveness and all the jealousies towards other people destroys this body. Just wreaks havoc in it. Unforgiveness is horribly bad on your flesh and bones. It just can't contain the stuff. And it breaks it down and breaks it down and cripples it up and stiffens it up, and inflammation and all kinds of terrible things take place. Because your body's not designed for evil. It's not a host for evil. It's a host for the Holy Spirit. You know, and I don't think that people realize that they're doing themselves real harm by not being joyful and rejoicing and praising and blessing. Really. That's what we're supposed to, that's what you're, this thing's created for, physically, to carry you around and to give glory to God. Going on to 16. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Look at this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What is an effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man? What is an effective and a fervent prayer? It avails much. So it does good. It really accomplishes things. What? Praying results? Praying results. Makes tremendous power available. Boiling point. Lacking unbelief. It's good. Casting out doubt. Anybody else have another thing of effective, fervent? Carlos? When we have confidence in Him. Huh? Earnest. Earnest is another way to say that, yes. Genuinely hot. The word fervent is heat, but it also means like to ferret out. To the effective, fervent prayers. It's like a ferret going in and searching and finding out what the problem is and checking everything out. And it's getting in there to find out what the deal is and then energizing, getting that thing. So it takes someone really willing to get in there and get the job done. Let's look what it says here. It says in verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. He prayed the first time. If you go back and look at it, he was fervent, all right. He said, "It'll not rain until I say it's going to rain." He was seriously in touch. Yes.
He had to pray that in accordance with God's will. I go out there and pray that it won't rain 3.5 years, and I'll tell you what, it won't do a bit of good because God's not behind it.
Well, okay. I'll let that lay. I don't agree with you, though. But I'm not going to go there right now. Because here's the thing. Remember the guys that were walking around Jesus? And he says, should we do like Elijah did and call down fire on them? They were justified. Elijah did it, right? And Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of. Elijah, the first time he prayed, he was angry. And it came out of the fullness of his heart. And he said it without thinking twice about it. It was just bang. There it is. But guess what? When he wanted it to start raining again, he had to put some more effort into it. He had a servant go out there. He's in there praying and praying and praying. He had a servant go out and look. Goes, see anything yet? Nope. Okay. Pray and pray and pray and pray. See anything yet? Nope. Pray, 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 pray. What do you see anything? Oh, I see the cloud the size of a man's hand. All right, it's working. Praise God. The cloud's this big. All right, we got it. And it did, right? He got a little bit of results, and wham, off he went running. Same with you and me when it comes to our effectual prayers. If we can get a little bit of them healed, get it going in the right direction a little bit, guess what? That's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Hallelujah. You know that? We can get a little bit in them. Bang, we can go for a lot more, shall we? Amen? Amen. We can. And it rained. Praise the Lord. So, in conclusion, I love saying that because it doesn't mean anything at all. No, actually, I am going to close down. I don't want to run the whole day here. Okay, so we talked about resisting the devil. We need to stand against the devil, and that doesn't mean just some kind of arbitrary posture. We have to actually actively be standing up against his works. We're supposed to do what? Hate evil. However it comes, whether it is us participating in the evil, sinning willfully, maliciously, whatever the case may be, we need to give that up. God hates it, right? We need to be pure vessels. And the evil that is taking advantage of other people. Amen. If the devil has taken somebody captive and prisoner, we need to hate that evil. Amen. Listen. If you're not used to hating properly, you're going to have to practice, believe it or not. You're just going to have to practice. Because sometimes we roll so much over onto God, and rightfully so, but it's God in us, through us, right? That it's in me, through me. And what I want to see is the power of God working through my life. Don't you want to see it working through your life? I want to see the power of God in my life. Do you want to see the power of God in your life? Can I give a little testimony to close on? The flu was going around. My wife and Trey can attest to it. The flu was going around. Even right now, my stomach just started cramping just as I said that. See, that's the devil, guys. That's totally the devil. So I'll let you know. I prayed for a couple here about the flu that was wreaking havoc, and we took authority over the devil and the fevers and all that kind of stuff, and we prayed for it. The very next day, I woke up with incredible gut-wrenching cramps. The devil has to get me at night because I'm awake during the day. So he has to get me at night. And so by about 4 o'clock in the morning, you know how you wake up sometimes? I woke up and all of a sudden, whoa! Oh, shoot. I go, devil, you're a liar. No, this is because I prayed for somebody else. You're attacking me. No, I'm the property of the Most High God. Got up with my wife, had breakfast, ate a little piece of bacon, and my stomach's going, no, no. I come to work, and it still got me, man. And I'm just, no way. I get into work, and for 2 hours, I am in the Word, and I'm doing whatever I need to do. I'm ferreting it out. I'm looking for, how come it's staying? Why is it still staying in my body? What's going on here? So then I was listening to a John G. Lake, and it's God all the way. He talked about people that take pills, you know, and how they, instead of believing God, they take pills for things. And he said, even you with stomach aches, you won't even believe God to cure your stomach ache. And I'm going, right now. I'm just going, maybe I should listen to a different video. I don't know. But it had me. I just prayed. And I said, Lord, if there is anything in me, and I started thinking of everything that I can confess that could have maybe in any way just kind of let me get lullabied into this world instead of being a son of God that's freed from these things because Jesus paid for it on the cross. And so I got rid of everything that I knew to get rid of. And as I got rid of everything I knew, although there wasn't very much, but I just, to get an integrity there, and I got it clean. And then I just, man, I don't know how it was, but I just knew that I knew that I knew it was over. And it was like that. I just sit down for lunch, and I sit down with Trey, and I go, I was fighting something. I was fighting some stomach thing. So I don't want to rock the boat or anything right now. But you know what? Within 30 minutes, I totally forgot that I was even being attacked by it. Totally gone. So it took me about 2 or 3 hours to get maybe 4 hours max to get it really a grip on it and get it out. But the thing is, each one of us have to know where we're at, what we're going to let sneak in, what we're going to roll off onto God instead of me taking responsibility to make it go. Amen. And each one of us, we're going to have to practice it, you guys. It's different for everybody. You can't expect a newborn baby to walk. And you can't expect an infant to talk. And you certainly can't ask a toddler to make life-changing decisions. We got to step into it a little bit at a time. And each one of these things, we grow into it so that the devil can't take advantage of us. Amen? So when it comes to healing school, there is a personal responsibility that we take ownership for the power of God that's been placed in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's not just some alkaline battery unpersonified power. It is a personified power. It is Jesus himself. It is his spirit in us. But he leads us. We follow him. He hates evil. He hates that the devil takes advantage of us. And if we get the things clean that are clouding between me and Jesus, then his light can take care of it. Amen? Amen. I love you. I'm going to pray here in a minute. And like I said, next week, we're going to be talking about the love and the compassion of God. Because it's by compassion that faith works. Amen? Amen. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word today. I just thank you, Father, that you, Lord, are exposing all sides of this thing so that, Father, the devil's not going to have any place to hide, so that he's not going to have his way with people. The Lord, you said that you are going to come once again and shake heaven and earth, and anything that can be shaken will be shaken, Lord. Father, you want all of us to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You want every one of us to be like you are, the same today, yesterday, and forever. You want every one of us to walk just as you walk, fully matured sons and daughters. And so, Father, this is one more of the maturing, us taking responsibility ourselves for not only the things attacking us, but the things that are attacking others, Lord. So, Father, I just ask for your grace and your mercy to go with each and every one of us as this revelation works on us, Lord. So that when we see somebody in trouble, it is our first inclination to destroy the works of the devil, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.